Good morning. So how is your day so far? Good. Amen. So this morning, I'm going to share with you a message, free. So this is a good topic in this country, and in this land. And look at outside, sunshine, and I never regret. And my father and took the whole family, me and my brother and sister. We have four brothers and sisters, including me. I'm the second son. So in 20 years ago, we immigrant here. We are free in Jesus. Amen. So this morning, the free grace that continuing on grace without borders. And the free we are talking about is the freedom in Christ Jesus. And then I will share with you some of my struggles. You like to hear that? Some of say, oh no, don't tell us your struggle. Tell about the God have the victory in your life. Amen. Yes, God is good. So I will share my personal stories and that'll be good. And this morning's passage in Book of Galatians, chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. If you want to look at Bible, you're free to do so. And you're free to look at the screen up there. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then. And do not let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. And look at the picture. Can we look at the other bigger picture? This is the two cow. And this is probably not a strange picture in the countryside in China or in many parts of the world. Probably in Canada, in Vancouver also, part of the Vancouver, right? We can see that picture. It's the yoke that many of you might have seen that in person, that the yoke on two cows, that in order for them to do the farm work, this is hard work, but I'm sure the cow has better strength than you and me. So that's why the farmer used the cow to do the farm work. But that is very hardship for the cow to do that. The cows, right, are not free. So how many cows there? Probably at least four, as far as I can see back there, that the cows are not free. There's a yoke put on top of their back. And so those are not free. That's what the Bible talks about. Don't let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. We are set free in Christ. We are set free in Jesus. Jesus saved us. And then Paul, in the book of Galatians, he talked to the church about some of them go back to the old law. Or you may say, what is that? The Israelites will all do. That is something, the law, that the Israelites will go back to the law and go by the law. They release themselves, they rely themselves on the law instead of on Christ. That's what Paul talks about. That's what we are talking about this morning. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Amen. So, first of all, I'm going to talk to you about the definition of freedom you may already familiar with. But I just, one more time, explain a little bit the difference between the worldly point of view from the spiritual point of view. This world believes that I can do whatever I want. People protest for their own rights, for a variety of social issues, such as on gay marriage, euthanasia, etc. We often hear people saying, I can behave whatever way I feel like it. I should fight for my own right to behave any way that this society might think of me otherwise. Some people say, many people believe the same way I do, so I am right. Right? Are you familiar with that? So, but the spiritual and godly biblical point of view believes that everyone is created by God after his own image. We believe that everyone should behave the way after God's own heart and after his own word. We live for Christ, and we believe we are the chosen generation to proclaim Christ and to glorify God in our life. We are free from any bondage in life because Christ and his resurrection power have set us free. Amen. When we are in this world, we are to please God and him alone. And we are free indeed from anything that this dark world wants to set us bondage on us. This leads to my first point, released to love. Is that the chain? And then next, please. And this is what I saw from a church sign. You like that? I like that. Honk if you love Jesus. Text while driving if you want to meet him now. Isn't that great? Well, I thought this is great things I want to share a little bit. Anyway, I was born in a Christian family. You may say I'm a lucky boy to grow up in such a blessed family. Yes, I am. But, whenever you hear but, something is wrong with me. But meanwhile, I still need to grow up from following rules to following Christ. What I mean by that, as I grew up in the Christian home, I've been attached to a bunch of rules. Do I like rules? Nope. Do you like rules? No. Most of people, no. It's a good, it's an international language. No matter you speak French, you speak Chinese, when you like this, everybody say no. International language. That's cool. All right, where am I? And I don't like rules. Yes, you don't like either. But when the rules become our protecting boundaries for our personal rights, we might appreciate the rules, right? So rules, don't get me wrong here. I don't like rules when I was young, and even now, that rules, sometimes it's good for us when it becomes the protecting boundary for our personal life and our personal rights. And here reminds me of a parenting lesson. Next, please. This is about rules, about parenting, that kind of review our parenting 301. Rules without relationship leads to? Do you agree that? You agree with that? Okay, I somehow agree. Rules without relationship leads to rebellion. And I heard some other similar things that talks about, I don't care how much you know until I know how much you care. Say that again. I don't care how much you know until I know how much you cares. Is that a good phrase? Okay, thank you. All right, so this is a parenting class. As a young Stephen, me, I gradually learned lots of boundaries that I'm not supposed to step on or trespass. If I do, I'm certainly becoming a bad boy in my parents' eyes and my Sunday school's teacher's eyes. So sooner I learned to be a good boy, refraining from things I'm not supposed to do. I grew up in a Baptist church. background in Taipei, Taiwan, and I love Baptist, and of course, I love Pentecostal. Otherwise, you'll write a letter to Pastor Jim, who's not here. I had a good pastor and lovely group of Christian friends I grew up with, but the most difficult thing for Christian-grown kids is to pick up lots of rules before personally knowing Jesus. Do I feel happy? Yes and no. I feel sort of happy because I know I'm a better boy compared with lots of my classmates who did not follow the biblical rules. When I recall back that my life was surrounded by rules, not by Christ, who saved me. At that time, I couldn't figure out what was wrong with me, but I just wasn't happy. I remember one time that my classmate with the Buddhist background offered me a sweet rice cake, yummy. That has been offered to idol already, but I wasn't aware of that then. Maybe because I loved the sweet rice cake too much that I didn't want to think of anything wrong with it. Then I took it and enjoyed it right away. But meanwhile, I still have a tiny bit of suspicion that the cake might have already been offered to idols. Quote, in my youth time in Taiwan, it was only 2% of Christians in our country. So in my classroom, we have about 60, 70 people. When I was in elementary school, there were only about one or two Christian. So you can imagine, anybody give you the cake, it might have been offered to idol already. I was so nervous. Like now, I'm so nervous. So I asked my classmate who gave me the cake, did the cake being offered to idols already? And he thought about that because he doesn't agree that's idols, because he thought that was God's for him. So I asked him, was that offered to idol already? And he said, because he know I'm a Christian. So he said, yes. As soon as I heard that yes, I felt it was the end of the world for me. I felt like vomiting every chemicals, molecules out of my stomach. I even showed vomiting and poured tiny bit of things out of my mouth and from between my teeth in front of him. And I told my classmate, bummer, I'm busted. And in Chinese, we say, wan dan liao. He looked at me in a weird look, saying, what are you doing? Are you okay? No, I'm not. I'm not supposed to eat it. I just, you know, I was so strange at that time. And I, you know, I thought I was stepping on the line I was not supposed to. I was worried. I was trembling. There was a little Stephen. Later on, when I grew up more in faith, in his grace, I realized I was too exaggerated on reacting to the situation. I felt I lived in fear, and I did not feel free in God. To be honest, when I was young, I felt pressure under God's law. My God is more of a justice God, that I should never mess up with him in a tiny bit of it. I try to escape as many troubles as I can to get away with it. I was not free at all. To be honest, I was not free at all. I live in fear. I feel like I was just like an Israelite that told Moses to go up to the mountain alone. You go it. I don't mess up with that big God. You go ahead. And I don't mess up with God. So I was so afraid of him. If I go near him, I may die or easy to get punished by him. It reminds me of a verse in 1 John. There's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Praise Jesus. As I grow up in faith and His grace, I've learned that He loves me. And Jesus paid the price for me. And I can do nothing to exchange what He has done for me. He loves me unconditionally and faithfully. It is not because what I do, but because who Jesus is in my life. I want to praise Him. I've learned more and more of who Jesus is and how much of His gracious love ministers in my life. And I love Him. Through my life, He wants me to show people His love instead of demonstrating to people the way I vomit a piece of cake out of my stomach and out of my mouth. Praise Jesus. He set me free from rules, draw me closer to Him, and also He draw me closer to people around me. This leads to my second point, release to relate. Look at those bunch of good-looking people, just like you. Here is a fellowship. Release. It's really a big, big, big change in my life. I used to be height in, you may say, in a box that I don't want to relate with other people because I have so much rules, bondage in me, with me, around me, and I don't even want to relate to other people because I thought God is very rigid and try to catch me anytime I did something wrong. You know, you can imagine something about that. I am afraid I say something wrong. I'm afraid now also. You know, I was so timid that I may say something wrong, God will just send something, punish me, or send something to have things on me. So afraid. Praise Jesus, for He set me free. Amen. Amen. This leads to my second point, release to relate, and 1 Corinthians, and what after all is Apollos, 3:5-7, and what is Paul? Only servants, through whom you came to believe. As the Lord has assigned to each his task, I plant the seed, Apollos water it, but God has been making it to grow. So neither the one who plant nor the one who water it is anything. But can we read the last part together? Only God who makes things grow. Amen. This portion of scripture really transformed my thinking and transformed my life. This part of scripture talks about Paul instructs the young Corinthian church how they should view their leaders. At that time, the church at Corinth has many leaders and ministers among them. So people are divided because some people like Apostle Peter and some people prefer Apollos. Of course, some people love Paul. So the church was divided into many subgroups and each claimed their own territories and their own leader. This young church, Paul teach this young church and want them to know that it is not Paul nor Apollos that make you grow. We are only the vessel of God. The Almighty God is the one who makes people grow, and Jesus is the one who set you free from sin and wash you clean. But this portion of scripture did not apply to my life either when I was young. I really did not feel the importance of a prayer over a person's soul. I rarely cry out to God in prayer for the lost souls. I prefer serving the Lord with my hands rather than with my knees. I rather serve for God rather than serving in God. I used to hear a saying that, next please, it is not how big of our faith, but it is how big of our God. Amen. So growing up as a Christian, I was so focused on the work instead of on God. I serve God because I fear him, not necessarily because I love him. But the above verse dramatically changed my heart. God is the one who makes changes, and God is the one who transforms lives. We are only his servants, his vessels. God's word truly challenged my attitude to be more humble, that I am a servant, the vessel of God. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. I am not the Lord of my life. I have to confess that I cannot change things. I don't know the answers. This truth blows my mind, my heart. And the truth shall set me and set you free. Amen. And the truth even changed me, affect my relationship with my wife and with my two boys. As a Christian, I've been taught that I'm the leader of the house in my family. So after I got married in the year of 2000, so very easy to remember our, how do you say that? Anniversary, yeah. How can I forget that word? I didn't forget the date. Is my wife here? Oh, somewhere, probably. Okay, we got married in the year of 2000 and September the 30th. So today is September the 27th. So you already calculate that. I was so behaved myself that I was supposed to teach my wife things that I feel her life does not line up with the word of God. So last time, when you go out of this door, you talk to my wife. Not supposed to do that. Just joking. Okay. Yeah, please. The way I pray was like this. Lord, please make me to be the leader of the house. Please help me to lead and to change her heart. To be more of a submissive wife. You like that, guys? Amen? Line up with the word of God. It was a good prayer, right? I thought so. However, when I pray after that, I did not feel free. You like that? I feel bondage in my heart. I feel I wanted to control something. Oh, you may say I wanted to control her. Yes, I did. I did not like how I felt. But I did not exactly know how to get out of that weird feeling. I feel I was completely and doctrinally right, because I learned it from the seminary. Because I grew up as a good Christian boy, and I feel I was a lovely Christian boy. The same way I used to feel about my boys, I confess I used a bit of harsh attitude to teach my kids at times. I put demands on them because I was afraid that if I didn't do my part very seriously, they would end up going to hell. And I would be so responsible for that. Tell you the truth, I did not enjoy my relationship with them that much. Then, there were not much of a loving fountains flowing through my family. In many ways, I felt like I was a failure as a father. And I gave myself too much pressures that was not free at all. But praise Jesus. Praise God. Jesus' love and his grace has ministered to my life so much that he makes me know that only he is the one who changes life. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. We are only the vessel of his. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. I repented, even though I don't like it. I repented. I released myself and my hands to God and cried out to him, pray for my wife and my children. Then I approached my kids differently. Instead of demanding them to change, I strongly suggest them. You better change. You better be different. I suggest them to change. And me and my wife pray with them and encourage them to pray to Jesus themselves. And they themselves will grow the relationship with Jesus themselves. They themselves will learn to love Jesus. Instead of we being the one always telling them what to do, setting up so many rules and boundaries on them. And a slogan saying like this, let go and say to your neighbor, let go and let God. Even though it's not easy. Say to your neighbor, even though it's not easy. Now, I've been attending Sunday night prayer for children a while. It has helped me and helped many a lot. And the Holy Spirit has pumped my heart to wait on Him for my children to respond to Him. I've realized more of how God can work things through. I was so privileged to be the vessel of Jesus, to love and to discipline my children. I've realized it's for my children's benefits that they can grow more in Christ themselves. I praise God. The changes, the miraculous changes in our lives. I'm not saying God can change things overnight. Yes, He can, but I believe many things He wants us to wait on Him to observe and receive how He can change things around in His timing, in His purpose, in His power. Isaiah 30. This is what the sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. At that time, Israel tried to go down to Egypt to get a horse. Good horse can win the battle. So they running around to get the big nation, big country to help them. But God saying this to them, in repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. The Holy Spirit can work in our lives amazing way, even changing the way we relate with each other, our co-workers, our boss, our friends, even our family member. Let's pray that the Holy Spirit and the love of Christ flow through our heart, that we can be the vessel of Him to share the good news to our community and our family. Amen. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Praise God. Praise His holy name. Praise Him for He graciously ministered to my life and also to your life. He wants us to be more like Him. He's wanting us to follow whole, He's not wanting us to follow a whole bunch of rules. But don't get me wrong here. Sometimes rules are important. We all need to learn the rules. But remember one thing, that when we cannot catch up with rules, when we fail, He's not awaiting to punish us. He waits for us to grow, to know Him personally, only because He loves me and He loves you. Before I end it today, I want to teach you an English word. I want to teach you. Do you hear that? I want to teach you an English word. It's my privilege to teach you some English word. So push, please. So when I learn English word push, and I always confuse with pull. You know, push, pull, you know. So when I, there was one time I go through a door in a mall, somewhere in Metro Town, and the word say pull, and I was push. So any magic things about this is push, and it will open that. Most of the door is push out, right? Except my office door. And then there's a gentleman come after me, say, pull, and then he pulled out. I was so offended. So I learned then in 1991 the difference between push and pull. So now I get a chance to teach you the words. Just kidding. Okay, push stand for prayer until something happen. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So may I have a worship team please back to the stage and this time. Just a little testimony before I end. I will end with a story. I lost my cell phone. I lost my cell phone about 2 weeks ago on Friday after the Mandarin Alpha course. And when I found out when I was ready to leave and drive back home, I was so worried. I lost my cell phone. There's a lot of contacts, information there, you know. So I was so worried and then came back to the lobby, just a back of you. And I went to my office and the lobby and everywhere I have been that night. I couldn't find it. I was so worried. And you know, sometimes you don't want to pray until you are very needy, right? Do you do that? Or only me do that? And I, you know, that point that I was very, very needy, that I really need my cell phone back. So I pray, okay? Pray until something happened. So I pray, Lord Jesus, please help me. I really need my cell phone back. As soon as I finish prayer, and just some power. And I know later that it's power of the Holy Spirit bring me back to the auditorium. You know, on weekdays, that without the lights, the auditorium is very dark, very, very dark. And what on earth my cell phone could be on in the auditorium. It's not possible. And when I turn, it is about Linda's place. It's my cell phone just sit right there, very quietly. Very quietly. And I praise God. Thank you. Thank you, help me find it. So when I recall, because I borrowed some of the hymn books from the pew at the back of the auditorium. I borrowed that. And when I returned those hymn books, somehow, some way, I just dropped my cell phone on one of the pew. And I didn't know if the Holy Spirit didn't show me, I will never know where my cell phone has gone to. Praise Jesus. He can do a little things in our life. He can do miraculous things, big things in our life. He wants to set us free. Free from any bondage in our life. Amen. Amen. I want to pray with you. Pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you for your anointing and your gracious love in our life. We are free indeed in you and free from any bondage in this world. The enemy is trying to steal and kill. You came to give us abundant life, eternal life, life to enjoy. The joy of the Lord is filling our heart to know that you love us abundantly, amazingly, more than anything of this world can give. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. Just like the song that we sang a couple minutes ago, that we love you. Because we know that you love us first. We surrender ourselves again to you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Holy Spirit, to minister to our heart this morning. May you have all the glory and honor. Thank you, Jesus. In your precious name, Amen.